This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m. and you're tuned to the Coffee Table program. I'm your host, Kathleen Gustafson. The topic this morning is the Kachemak Bay State Park Management Plan. Chloe is standing by to take your calls. She can write them down and send your questions in, or you can ask questions on the air. That number is 235-7721. And first, let's meet our guests. Fingers crossed, Jack Blackwell, Kachemak Bay State Park Superintendent, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. And Monica Alvarez, Planner for Alaska Department of Natural Resources.
Yes, I'm here. Happy to be here.
Good morning. And Robert Archibald, Chair of the Kachemak Bay State Park Citizens Advisory Council.
I'm here, Kathleen. Thank you.
Terrific. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Now, the first thing I want people to understand is where they can find this plan. It's huge. I've got it here in the studio. To review it for themselves, because there is a public comment coming on Friday, January 22nd. So first, let's start with Jack Blackwell, Kachemak Bay State Park Superintendent. I have interviewed you so many times over the last, I think, 20 years. It's hard to believe that people wouldn't know who you are. However, if you could briefly introduce yourself, and then we'll introduce Monica Alvarez, then we'll talk a little bit about the plan. Jack Blackwell?
Okay. Well, thank you, Kathleen. I appreciate the opportunity to be with KBBI this morning and helping us share some information about the State Park Management Plan. I'm the State Park Superintendent for the Kenai Peninsula and Prince William Sound. I'm based in Soldotna, and it's a real pleasure to be working for the state park system and helping manage this the important parks and that we have on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. So excited to be able to talk with you this morning about the management plan and thanks for hosting us.
Thanks so much. And Monica Alvarez, Park Planner. Good morning. Would you briefly introduce yourself and your involvement with this plan?
Sure. I started working on the plan back in 2013. I was not the project manager at the time. I kind of am now, but I'm based out of Anchorage, and my group in DNR does most of the land use planning for the department. And I've been fortunate enough over the years to do many different state park plans. And so I'm looking forward to kind of wrapping this one up.
Thanks. That's Monica Alvarez. Now, can I get back to Jack Blackwell? How many years I know that around the newsroom, we've been waiting to see this plan for a couple of years now, several years now. How many years is this in the making, and why has it taken so long?
Sure, that's a good question. We started, the Department of Natural Resources decided to that it was time to update the management plan for Kachemak Bay State Park and State Wilderness Park back in 2012. And in 2013, we started the public scoping process. And there are a number of reasons that the project, the plan took as long as it did. You know, for starters, there's just a lot of issues to work through with the community and the stakeholders. People are very passionate about the Kachemak Bay State Park, and in addition to that, you know, there's limited number of people to work on the planning team. The Department of Natural Resources, well, actually, the state park system, when I started back in the 80s, we actually had a planning section within the state parks division, and the department has shifted, and so now we have department-wide planners that are working on state park plans, and that's where Monica falls into the project. There's just a lot of projects, other competing projects within the department too that that staff focused on, and then we had, you know, different administrations too with different ideas about certain issues. So I think you know, we're really excited that we're at this point where we have have issued an intent to adopt the plan, and people can take a look at it and learn more about it.
Okay, and someone just corrected me at kathleen@kbbi.org. I said public comment could happen on Friday, January 22nd, but you can comment anytime before that. It's until January 22nd that you can comment on this plan, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Also, I want to introduce Robert Archibald, who is the chair of the Kachemak Bay State Park Citizens Advisory Council. Robert, how does the council work to shape this plan?
You know, it's been a long time coming, and I've only been on a council since 2018, so I'm rather new at it, but we've been able to bounce ideas off the administration and parks, and we've had numerous meetings where the public has come and spoke. So it's been an interesting trip.
And do you submit those public comments to the state on behalf of the council, or as the council, do you, when you hold those public meetings, does the commentary there get submitted to the state?
Yes, it does. Usually Jack Blackwell is at our meetings along with somebody that records the meetings, so everything does go up the line to the director or Jack Blackwell.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, Kathleen,
go ahead.
Can I add something? I'd just like to mention that the Kachemak Bay State Parks Citizens Advisory Board is one of a number of advisory boards across the state, and the K-Bay Advisory Board is our primary method for incorporating public input into park management. And so, you know, this advisory board, I think we have 12 people on, or 13 people on the advisory board right now. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for staff to sit down with stakeholders once a month. We don't meet during the summer months, but September through April or May, we meet with the public and in this with this advisory board, and it's a great opportunity. If people have concerns or ideas or suggestions, this is a great way to bring those to the attention of park managers, and so it's. It's really these advisory boards are really important for the public as well as state parks. And we'll also be opening up the advisory board for recruitment here the middle of next month. So that's an opportunity for folks. If they're interested in serving on this board, I would encourage them to apply.
Okay, well, I've got questions that are starting to stack up. So let's get right to personal watercraft in Kachemak Bay State Park, because a lot of what I have is based on that, is on that subject. First of all, either Monica Alvarez or Jack Blackwell, can you state, what is the state's position? I mean, it would appear that this is going to happen. I mean, is there any chance that this will not happen?
I can jump in and take that, Jack.
Please.
Okay.
So I can tell you what the plan says. You know, recently the Department of Fish and Game has repealed the ban they have on personal watercraft in the critical habitat area. At the time that we issued this version, the intent to adopt version of the plan, we didn't know that repeal was going to go through. And so what the plan says is that we will consider evaluating the restriction in the state park if Fish and Game change their regulation. They have changed their regulation. And so at some point, you know, after this plan is adopted, the department will evaluate whether it's appropriate to change the regulation in the state park.
Okay, and I have another question that came through Kathleen at KBBI.org, which says, going through some paperwork, I found the Citizen Advisory Board resolution of 2019-2, which was from the December 2019 meeting. And it was a resolution on page 2. It looks for, asks the state to provide scientific and technical information, quote, supporting its proposed rule change in a timely manner so that the Citizens Advisory Board can and local residents can better understand and comment on the issues presented. Has there been any response on that? Is there a scientific study that and technical information that has been released or conducted by the state?
So the Department of Fish and Game had initiated started reviewing the personal watercraft regulations in the critical habitat area. And, you know, state parks has not, you know, as Monica mentioned in, you know, our plan states that we may reconsider the regulations if the Department of Fish and Game repeals the regs, personal watercraft regs in the critical habitat area. And they've identified that they intend to do that effective on January 9th of 2021. And so, you know, we are aware that DFG is intending to repeal those, and we will take a look at our regulations as well. We understand this is a very contentious issue. There are folks that are really supportive of trying to open the critical habitat area and the state park waters to personal watercraft, and we understand that people are also very concerned and like the way that it's waters of Kachemak Bay have been managed for the last 20 years. So at this time, you know, we're aware the Department of Fish and Game is relaxing their regulations, and we're aware that they're doing that, and we'll be reviewing this.
So there are no studies or scientific and technical studies that you're aware of that have been conducted for this purpose?
I know that there's literature and other studies that have been done in other areas.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any specific to Kachemak Bay, though.
Okay, it would appear that Willie may be on the line. Willie, are you there?
Hi, yes, can you hear me?
Good morning, yes, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, I would like to delve into this discussion a little bit further. I don't have the language right in front of me, but I understand that the language in the draft management plan says that the state parks may consider changing the regulations, not will consider. And, you know, those words are really important. And the state park waters have very different public values in addition to the critical habitat waters. So state park waters are different. I think they should have a higher level of protection. And I'm a little interested in the process. Is this going to be an internal review, or how will state parks involve the process in considering changing the regulations? Also, I just wanted to point out that, you know, we have state park lands that have regulations, say, prohibiting snow machines out at Eveline State Park and Cottonwood Eastland State Park. And just because snow machines are allowed on adjacent land doesn't seem like a reasonable argument for allowing them on the state park land. I think we need to think about our state park waters the same way. In addition to that language in the plan that says they may consider repealing the regs on jet skis. The rationale is that it would be for consistent marine waters management. And there's been discussion over difficulties with enforcement, but no matter how difficult it is to enforce, I think we need to perhaps just realize how important it is to have our state park waters have some strong protection. I mean, litter laws are hard to enforce. Well, it's okay to litter just because it's difficult to enforce. So just some things to think about. And I sure would like to hear from Jack on the process on how parks may consider changing those regs.
Okay. Thank you so much, Willie. Jack Blackwell, can you talk about the process for that?
Sure. And thanks, Willie, for clarifying that. That's an important clarification. The plan says that the Division of Parks may consider a similar change. And as Willie said, it's the plan identifies that we may consider similar change to have consistency with the management of the marine waters in Kachemak Bay. You know, Monica pointed out that when the plan was released, when DNR issued the intent to adopt the plan, that it, you know, we knew Fish and Game was considering repealing this regulation. And so, you know, that we really aren't at the point where we have a plan in place, a process identified for this. We're just not at that point yet with DNR. And so I understand the concerns that people have about, about this regulation remaining intact. And there's very good and valid points that people are bringing up. And I can tell you that this is a decision that will, you know, the department of natural resources takes very seriously. I understand the concerns. I've been meeting with this advisory board since 2012 and working with the community of Homer, I hear the concerns loud and clear.
Thanks. And Monica Alvarez, would you have any comment about the process or about anything to speak to for Willie's comments?
You know, I echo kind of what Jack said. This is all so new still. At the time that we issued this plan, we didn't know if Fish and Game was going to repeal their regulations. And so that's why we kind of have that language in the plan. I'm not sure if we are really prepared to know what process we'll undertake to evaluate that. Anytime there's a regulatory change, there's obviously a public process that accompanies that. But in terms of evaluating whether to go down that road, I don't think we have anything figured out yet.
Okay, and I think Dave is on the line. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Dave, with your question.
First, I want to thank Jack, Monica, Robert, and the radio station for the program today. My concern relates to Cottonwood Eastland, unit of the state park. One portion of the plan, it states that there are six parcels that are administratively managed. One of the parcels provides access to the park unit from East End Road. On the next page, it says that DPOR will pursue an ILMA. So I'm just confused whether the parcel is already managed by the state park, or it will depend upon whether the ILMA is approved.
Thank you, Dave. I also have a question in my email queue that is along the same lines that says, what is the latest development on the ILMA that will provide access to Cottonwood Eastland State Park at mile 17 East End Road. So, Jack Blackwell, do you want to speak about Cottonwood Eastland State Park?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Cottonwood Eastland unit is really a great addition to the park. It's part of Kachemak Bay State Park, and really provides folks there are great opportunities for potential trail system and facilities to help offer recreation opportunities on the north side of the bay that may be a little cheaper for people to access and easier for people to access. And so around mile 16, 17, the East End Road is near a section of Cottonwood Eastland, but Cottonwood Eastland Park doesn't go quite up to the road, and so we recognize that there's some state land that is along the road system that could potentially, and again, this is general state land, it's not part of the state park, but general state land that is right off of the road that would provide a good location for parking and access to the park. And so we have applied to the Division of Mining, Land and Water to administratively manage this parcel that's between the highway and the park. And so we anticipate that this process when it's completed, will give us the management authorization. ILMA stands for Interagency Land Management Assignment, and that's just it's an option for assigning lands to various agencies, and it's a pretty common management action that we take in a number of areas, and many of the areas, the state recreation areas on the western Kenai are managed under this authority. So there was an effort to help raise funding within the community for this process. There's a fee that's associated with this, and a group of stakeholders initiated a fundraising effort and covered the cost of the application fee, and the application is with the Division of Mining, Land and Water right now. As of about 2 weeks ago, I talked with the folks that were working on that request, and they had requested a little more information from us, which we provided. And so the process is underway. I don't have an exact time frame. I can't tell you that 3 months from now we'll have it, but
okay.
It's
Dave, do you feel like that addressed your question, Dave?
No, that's fine. The only other thing I was going to ask is the projected timeline for the adoption of the management plan.
Okay, who's going to take that one? And thanks, Dave.
I can take that one.
Go ahead.
As you said, we have the comment period that extends to the 22nd. And after that time, we will evaluate the comments that we've received on this version of the plan and make any necessary changes as appropriate, and then present that to the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources for adoption. I expect that process, depending on the number of comments that we get, to take a month or two at most.
Okay, thanks. That's Monica Alvarez from Alaska DNR. And let's time to move on to Tutka Bay Hatchery. Who wants to go first? The question is, why has DNR determined that the hatchery is incompatible or an incompatible use within the park?
So I can take a stab at that, and maybe Monica can jump in and add to, feel free to add to this. The hatchery, the Tutka Bay Lagoon hatchery was built back in the mid-70s, 1975, and has been, operating not necessarily consistently in the park, but there have been some times that it hasn't been in production. But for the most part, it's been, in the park since the mid-70s. And so the park, is, as many of you know, is, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. It was established in 1970. And the hatchery was built after the park was established. And so the state park was designated by the legislature. It was withdrawn from the public domain and created as a special purpose area and classified as a state park. And so because of its special purpose and status as a state park, the administration, departments of natural resources or fish and game, can't dispose of those special purpose lands. We can't. That's an act that would, that's an act that would have to be, done by the legislature. And so, when we started this process, back in 2012 and 13, we started researching various aspects and issues, and right around the same time, there was a Supreme Court decision, the SOP versus the state of Alaska. There was a ruling that essentially stated that permits, the state had to be very cautious about disposing of or issuing permits that could be considered an easement, which would be an inconsistent disposal of lands. And so that Supreme Court ruling and guidance really has given us better guidance about what we can do administratively. And so
And Jack Blackwell, are there any other concessions or commercial ventures in the park whose use or behavior might constitute this same disposal of park lands?
So this is the one that comes to light. Obviously, we have Homer Electric has a power line utility easement in the park, but that predates the park, and so there's similar issues that we work with Homer Electric to make sure that we're staying within that easement and not straying outside of it. But this is probably the main issue that's come to light and that we believe constitutes a disposal. So,
and I have
I have a
question, or actually it's a comment that came in, but I think I can turn it into a question for Robert Archibald. Kevin says there has never been a commercial or sports native sockeye salmon run in Tutka Bay. All sockeye salmon eggs come from other stocks. Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association routinely does remote egg takes. They use transplanted stocks to create fish runs as needed. The point of this being that Kevin says the Tutka Bay hatchery is not a key component for egg takes. The sockeye salmon fishery in China Poot could continue without interruption if the Tutka Bay hatchery were closed. So Robert Archibald from the park's Citizens Advisory Board, does the CAB take a position on the hatchery? And is it the board's place to take positions and make recommendations in that way?
The board has talked about this numerous times, and we can take a position on that. And the egg take does happen at the Tutka Bay hatchery, but they end up at the Crooked Creek hatchery. So in essence, you could do the egg take at other locations other than the Tetka Bay hatchery. And they rear them at a different facility. So in the past, we have had a resolution against the hatchery moving the net pens out into Tetka Bay. And that, in fact, has not happened. Well, it did happen, but...
It did, but then they blew away, didn't they?
Yes, it was not successful. Yeah. So that's being... that's the commissioner of DNR did not allow that permit to go through again. So...
Thank you.
Right now, it's being contested, so...
I see. And just to remind people, if you want to get a question in, you can email Kathleen at kbbi.org. Or you can call 235-7721. You can go to air and ask your question or make your comment, or you can leave your question and with us, and Chloe will write it down and send it into the studio, either way. And the next thing I want to ask about is helicopters and aircraft and drones. Oh, my. Let's start with helicopters, because I have a couple of two questions about whether or not helicopters will be flying in for heli skiing and heli hiking, if that's going to be allowed under the new plan, and if that is already, if they're already are there already concessions set up for that? So Jack Blackwell, helicopters landing in the park?
So helicopters, in fact, this was one of the main issues that came up back, I think it was in 2012 or 13, we received back in 2012, we received a couple of applications for helicopter skiing in the park, and those were from commercial businesses that were interested in accessing the backcountry, and so for winter skiing, and so we received a lot of comment on it, and recognized it's a pretty important issue. So we knew that the management plan was due for revision, and so we tabled that decision pending the revision of the management plan, and so.